Ronnie, a smooth skater, stays right with him. Radulov back to Weber. Fires it. Stepanovson. And on the rebound, Byron scores. So third power play of the game for Montreal. Radulov right circle. There's a pass. And Galchenyuk shoots and scores. Another brilliant pass from Radulov. Two assists tonight. And it's 2-0. Polia came in, took a pretty heavy hit from Henry, and then Radulov took a run at him and knocked him down.
I love it.
Good teammate right there. Fans love it too. Unable to do so, and Nylander.
Oh,
belted by Weber. He adjusts his helmet, and Muzzoli goes to the bench.
Oh, I saw that coming.
Marner can't shoot it. Knocked off the back glass. The Canadians have broken their three-game losing streak. Van Riemsdyk is hammered down at the glass. Canadians win it 2-1. There's a dust up down there. Nobody dropping gloves yet, but Van Riemsdyk was hammered, and that draws everybody on the ice. And a big win for Montreal here against Toronto.
No, I mean, it was an empty net. You know, I think he brought all attention to him and, give all the credit to him. I was just trying to get open because I know if he doesn't have a perfect shot, he's not going to just waste it. He's going to make a play that I think it's the best. And, you know, he gave me a great play. So, you know, I just had to put it in.
Putski's got passion, you know. For an example, there's people like classes. And some people doesn't like to go to classes in school. He likes everything. He likes classes. He likes exam. He likes to work to get to the exam. Same thing.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Welcome back. Hour number 3, Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Mitch Melnick until 7 o'clock. Here he is. Hope you had a good weekend, Pierre Maguire. How are you?
Excellent weekend. Thank you, sir. I hope you had the same kind of weekend.
Yes, sir. Montreal, Toronto, it's getting warm. It is really getting warm. And, man, I can't wait until they have a playoff series.
That would be really exciting. Now, that being said, you saw the mature team versus a young team. You saw the guys that have been through the battles and the guys that are just learning about the battles. One of the things that you saw at the end of that game, I understand Yemelin, I should say, in terms of the cross-check to Van Riemsdyk. I get that. That was to send a message, much like some of the other hits in that game. Don't, if you're Matt Martin, don't be doing that to some of our skillful defensemen. I told you, they challenged Bollier. That's exactly what Matt Martin did. And this is the thing going forward. The Canadians are going to plant the seed of doubt to especially younger teams that want to come in and try to run and gun. Try it, but I'm telling you, you're going to pay a huge physical toll. That was what you would say an exclamation point game. This is the kind of statement we're going to make every time we play you.
And plus there was this early in the game.
Leafs are changing. Kadri trying to beat two men, and he chipped it through to Price and then ran into him, and he's going to go to the penalty box. He's already arguing. The whistle's yet to blow. Price is off to the bench in favor of an extra attacker.
Hitting Price is like hitting Morris Richard on this rink back in the day.
Here comes Galchenyuk.
Cause a riot.
So not only was Kadri penalized for bumping Price, there was another incident during the game, Pierre. I think it was Hyman who was actually pushed in. But as he was pushed in, no penalty, he did, on his way out, kind of elbow Price in the head on his way out of the crease. So there's another aspect of what the Canadians are going to have to start getting used to, if they haven't already.
I think they're used to it. I think they understand it. It's part of what goes on over the course of an 82-game schedule. They're going to be a hunted team. I mean, they know that. People are coming after them. They're right at the top of the food chain. It's part of the way it goes in the league. They understand that.
But having said all that, that was a dangerous shove by Yemelin to Van Riemsdyk. That was a ridiculous two-minute call on Matt Martin. It was like a flying tackle into Bollier from behind.
Yeah, and then you saw, if you watched the game yesterday between the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals, the phantom high stick to the head of Nick Backstrom that never even made contact put Columbus on the power play, and they scored to win the game. You know, so you see a lot of phantom stuff around the league, and you see some other stuff, and you say, How come that's not being called? I didn't like the Martin hit on Bolia. I did not like what Yamelin did to Van Riemsdyk, so it's equal opportunity there. But I also know that it's the law of the jungle right now. And certain teams are trying to establish themselves. And on the case of Saturday night, you had two teams that were clearly trying to establish themselves. And the older guy said to the younger guys, you're not ready yet.
Right behind Carey Price. Oh, there's a hit from behind from Martin. 100% hit from behind. He should be kicked out of the game.
Right now, Weber. Oh, boy, get another look at it. You're right.
That is so dangerous. That is crazy. He has no idea he's coming.
Martin's lucky he's sitting in the bench and not out of the game.
Rod.
Well, you heard Sergio's instincts, Pierre. You heard what Dan said as well. And the worst part of this is Bollier stands up for himself. He gets the minor penalty for roughing. And Matt Martin, through all this, he frankly should get suspended. He sat in the box for 4 minutes, but his team's only penalized for two.
Yeah, no, it was a weird deal. Again, I've seen a lot of – I watched so many games this weekend at the college and the pro level. There was – it must have been – was it a full moon or something, or just was it the bad weather in the east? There was some funky refereeing going on, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and another terrible weekend for the NHL in terms of injuries, which we'll get to in just a second. On Melnick in the afternoon with Pierre McGuire at 5:05 as the Habs prep for Ottawa. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo.
Well, Pierre, one of the issues that's currently – a concern, I think, for the Canadians is that sixth defenseman spot because, again, Joel Hanley in that game against the Leafs, he played only around 6 minutes. So my question to you is, how long can you survive with the 82-game NHL season only going with five defensemen?
Hello, Pierre. There's something funky going on. I don't know if it's a full moon.
Well, we did have the supermoon.
We had the supermoon, yeah. which is actually bigger than the full moon.
That's right. Closest to Earth it's been in the last 68 years.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. And is Pierre in Connecticut by any chance?
I believe so.
Yeah, it never fails. And it's never like right out of the gate. It's always about 5 minutes in somewhere in Connecticut. There's this tunnel. It's like the Bermuda Triangle of Connecticut. He just disappears.
5 minutes in clockwork.
Yeah.
By the way.
But yeah, I agree with you. And there's no way. There's no way. Not only the fact that you need six to play and go deep, you can't have Andre Markov playing as he did the other night. What was it, 24 minutes? Mm-hmm. Back up to 24 minutes and not feel that at some point.
And they don't trust Patterson. They've taken him out now three times. Even at the beginning of the season, they didn't trust Patterson.
Well,
they're
like
having the rookie playing over him.
It seems like any team that has some speed and quickness, Patterson doesn't get to play. I think we have Pierre back. Pierre?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I heard what you were saying with Mitch Gallo in terms of the speed.
Yep.
There is something that Toronto does to influence what some of these teams do in terms of dressing lineups. I'll give you a case in point. You know, you look at McElrath, who got traded to Florida. He plays in the Toronto game. They get lit up. He has a little bit of a tough time in terms of speed and turnovers. They go into New York last night. They sit him out. So the Toronto thing is affecting some of the lineup positions that some of these coaches are taking because they're seeing the speed of the young players, and it definitely is intimidating some of the guys that are dressing rosters. There's no question.
And Coach Therrien was actually talking, Pierre, about specifically the depth of the Leafs that they could throw three offensive lines at you because on one line you have Nylander and Matthews, on another line you have Van Riemsdyk and Marner, and then on the third line you have a guy like Nazem Kadri. So all three lines can actually hurt you offensively.
There's no question. It's something we've talked about. I mean, it's not getting enough attention. Tyler Bozak basically playing in the three hole with Van Riemsdyk and Marner, that's an amazing third line. Because see, what happens is they play Kadri in the matchup situations a lot, so maybe he gets a few more minutes. But Tyler Bozak's gone from being a number one center to a number three. That's tough stuff. I mean, you're deep then. You're really deep.
Given what we said about Patterson and the Canadiens' five and six defensemen, what do you think's going on with Barbario? Is it about providing leadership in St. John's, but is that really your priority? Like, I don't really get it.
I don't know the answer to that only because I haven't seen St. John's play. So I don't know the answer. It's a very fair question. I just don't have an answer for you.
He's piling up the points. You know, he had right out of the gate, I think he had two terrible games. I think he was like a -9 after three games. But he straightened himself out, and he's piling up the points. And I don't know.
It's a bit of a mystery when they're struggling to find another defenseman, that's for sure. However, the fact that they are where they are in terms of their one-loss record gives them time to figure things out. And one of the things they got to figure out, Pierre, they're basically a one-line offensive team. They're doing this with Galchenyuk and Radulov and Byron. And today, he had Plekanec with Gallagher and Philip Deneau, Torrey Mitchell centering Andrew Shaw and Max Pacioretty.
Il ne faut pas toujours t'attendre à recevoir la rondelle. Des fois, il faut que tu ailles la chercher. C'est un peu ça aussi dans n'importe quel joueur. Donc, quand il y a une rondelle libre, c'est toi qui es en position de la chercher. Il faut que tu ailles la chercher. C'est ça que je regarde du trio de Galchenyuk. Il y a pas un... Quand Alex a besoin d'aller chercher la rondelle dans le coin, que tu sois promener sa patine sur la rondelle, il n'attend pas après Paul qui est à l'autre bout, à la ligne rouge, puis va chercher. Tu comprends-tu? C'est une complicité d'un peu tout le monde qui fait en sorte qu'un trio aura du succès.
Do you think a move like this gets Pacioretty hungrier for the puck?
It might. Torrey definitely can go fetch it. You know, and I think the other thing, they're complimenting Philip Deneau, who's been really solid. So there's a couple things at play here. But I agree with what the coach said in terms of, you know, you got to go get the puck. You got to be hard on it. You got to want to make plays. I mean, all those things matter. Max, he's got to help himself. This is not something that just happened. And so he's got to figure it out. We talked about it at the World Cup.
Yep.
He had a bad World Cup. I said it to you at the time. It wasn't very popular, I'm sure, to say that. But I just call it the way it is. And he had a really bad, he got benched at the World Cup. There's no other way to describe it. This is something that's been going on now for almost 3 months. He's got to figure it out.
And I think what happened when he scored that that whip of a shot on the power play against Florida, it was like, oh, okay, he's back. Now he'll get going and he'll go on a some kind of run of 4 goals in 5 games or something like that.
You know, Torrey normally gets faced with a lot of defensive assignments, and it's a new role, but I think I've been playing a little bit. So whatever way I can help the team. Excited to play with Torrey. He's one of the guys I haven't played with yet. He's got great energy and he's a great skater. So we'll see if we can put something together tomorrow.
Now, Pierre, something else.
The same reaction I had, but I didn't breathe. I didn't breathe orally.
It's a good. It's a good answer to a complicated question, and it's really good at deflection. But it's not what I would want to hear. I'd want to hear is, I got to be better offensively. I know it. I know I have it in my game, and I'm going to fix it. And here's how I'm going to fix it.
Well,
I don't hear that. I hear the deflection. I don't hear the other stuff.
Well, about a half an hour ago, somebody texted us at 11:69. Keep in mind what Pacioretty said years ago when he said there's no point in him being called up if he's going to play on the bottom six. Well, he's right. The captain now, and he's lost a top six status. Let's see how he reacts.
Told you a long time ago, and I feel strongly about this, give a man a little disappointment and see how he reacts to it. Is he prepared to look in the mirror and evaluate himself, or does he start casting aspersions on the people that put him in the spot that he perceives it's unfair? It's really a difficult thing to go through. It's very, very difficult, but that's where you measure up, especially in this league that's so unforgiving.
Do you think, Pierre, that the Canadians had all looked at the Pittsburgh Penguins last season and the way they had that that Bonino, Hagelin, Kessel line, and they actually think that Pacioretty put in that type of situation might actually help them at this point?
I think there are a lot of teams looking at that. That's such a valid point, Mitch Gallo. A lot of teams are looking at that, you know, portfolio of the Penguins, and they're saying, wow, that HBK line was so good. And it really, they were phenomenal in the playoffs. That's really where they struck gold with those three guys. But Bonino is such an underrated player. Torrey and Bonino are not similar. Torrey's not the playmaker that Bonino is. Torrey's an energy guy. Shaw's not a finisher like Kessel. You know, it's a totally different thing. Shaw is an intense son of a gun. I think everybody's seeing that. He's become very valuable. But it's a different. People look at that, but it's a different situation, I think, in Montreal.
You know what I'd be curious about at this point, you know, basically 1/4 into the season in regards to Pacioretty, somewhat ironically, is how many times did he score as a result of a PK Subban setup? They don't have a defenseman, and I'm not, you know, just talking specifically about what PK Subban does in regards to Max Pacioretty, and maybe he's missing a guy to get on the puck like that.
Fair. It's something that you can evaluate.
I'd like to know how many goals did PK Subban set Max Pacioretty up the last couple of years. I'd just be curious about that for the analytics community out there. Let me know.
I'd be curious. I think that's a fair one. It's a good one. I don't know the answer.
Oh, come on, Pierre.
Off the top of my head, I don't have the answer.
Just kidding. Rangers and Penguins tonight. I mentioned all those injuries. Mika Zibanejad, who is off to such a great start for the Rangers.
Horrific.
6 to 8 weeks with a broken fibula.
Yeah, that was, oh my gosh, it was awful to watch. That reminded me, I was doing a game with Gordon Miller in Denver back in the mid-2000s, and it was Marco Sturm and Adam Foote, and I'm sure it's on YouTube. That reminded me of that. I mean, it was just that hideous to watch when Marco's leg just snapped in half. It was the same kind of deal when I saw that with Zibanejad last night.
Speaking of analytics, I thought of you when we heard this on Friday from, if he's not the smartest coach in the NFL, who is?
You can take those advanced websites and metric them wherever you want. I don't know. I have no idea. I've never looked at one. I wouldn't even care to look at one. I don't even care what they say. As far as the quarterback goes, read the coverage, throw the ball to the open receiver, take the best matchup. I mean, that's what it is in a nutshell. So if the quicker we're open, the better the clearer the picture, the sooner the ball's going to come out. We don't have anybody open. Who's the quarterback going to throw it to? So it's timing, decision-making, execution by the entire offensive team. That's what the passing game is. Receiver's got to get open and catch the ball. Quarterback's got to read the coverage, make the right decision, make an accurate throw. And all the metric pages and all that, I mean, I have no idea. It's something you need to ask that to a smarter coach than me.
So
the old hoodie sticking up for the 6th round pick out of Michigan. That's good. He's telling the truth. He's telling anybody that, listen, I was fortunate enough to play that position, not at the NFL level, but at a pretty high level. Read and react, especially reading defenses pre-snap, not easy to do. It has nothing to do with analytic equations. It has nothing to do with metrics. It has to do with eye rhythm. It has to do with film study. It has to understand or having to do with understanding the sport. It's a completely different thing, completely different. Some of the metric counts, I will cede you that. Puck possession, I think, is a good one. Shooting and retrieval, I think, is a good one. Chances for, chances against, those are good ones. Save percentage, I think, is pretty good. But some of the other ones, no.
And the other message I picked up there is intelligence trumps athleticism. I mean, yesterday out in San Francisco, Tom Brady's hometown, it was Colin Kaepernick, who is a better athlete than Tom Brady. You mentioned 5th-round pick out of Michigan, and Brady kicked his rear end.
Yeah, you know what? San Francisco, not a real good team. I'm not going to hang it on the quarterback because they don't play against each other. But, in the rain and everything else, you could see Brady wanted to prove a point. Now, all that being said, the one thing I would say about the NHL today, I look at Patrice Bergeron. I look at Brad Marchand. I look at how those guys play. No scout in the world would be able to use a metric on them and say, draft them at this position or that position. Draft them based on how they play. There's no metric that can describe how they play, especially 37. His hockey sense is insane. Insane. If you didn't know who he was and you just went to a rink in a pickup game, he wouldn't stand out. He wouldn't. But man, is he good.
And the Montreal Canadiens insisting when every team in the NHL had a chance several times to draft Brendan Gallagher, and they said, we better take him now. We've waited long enough.
What metric defines character? Have they come up with a number for that yet?
Well, you got to see it. You got to watch games. You got to watch every shift.
Count every time I've told you the importance of having boots on the ground and evaluating. Let me give you some hard stats off the top of my head. I would defy people that want to really get into this business to look at where players per capita are coming from. and look at since 2013, how many players have come from the combined countries of Sweden and Finland combined. Start in 2013. I can tell you that one is 36. 36 in that one, and keep going forward. It's insane. From 2013 to now, how many are Finns and Swedes in the league or are being drafted coming out of those two countries? It has nothing to do with analytics.
Let's finish where we started, because it is starting to sound like a broken record when you talk about, for all the right reasons, when you talk about Alexander Radulov, who missed two games, was very sick, more sick than I think people realized. He actually visited the hospital, comes back and dominates. Brendan Gallagher, every Monday with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt here on TSN 690.
Yeah, Ryder's been a great teammate, I think. We heard a lot about him, and I'm sure everyone else was the same way, but we didn't really know and get the chance to know him and really see what type of person he is. It's a lot of the stuff that was spread about him obviously wasn't true, and some of it was true, and you know, he's grown and learned from it.
What a treat.
What a good answer. What a good answer. That's a leader. That's a leader right there. Some of it's true, some of it's not true, but he learned from it. What an awesome answer. You go in a foxhole with that guy, Brendan Gallagher. Winner. Winner.
Whether he scored in 13 games or not, which he hasn't. But I I'm not worried about Brendan Gallagher.
Don't worry. There are other pressing issues for the Canadians. They need center ice help. It's what I've been telling you for 3 years.
They're becoming Team Donut.
Tried, but they've tried to their credit. Listen, you can't knock this management team. Try all you want. Montreal's done really good work. Really good work. This Radulov signing, I said it's an experiment. See how it plays out. It's working, and it's very noticeable when he's not there. But Mark has done a really good job as a manager. His support staff's done a really good job. They're adding pieces. I'm sure they've tried to get better at center. That's one of the reasons why they moved Galchenyuk there, which we've been trying. How long have we been trying to get him there, Mitch? But anyway.
4 years.
they're getting it. They're getting it. And I really admire what they're doing. I really do. As an outsider looking in, I love what they're doing.
He's got 3 months to find a real centerman. Right? Put it that way.
Well, it's not going to be that easy because nobody's going to be handing them carnations. People know how good Montreal is. People know. So you think people are just going to hand the center over to them so they have a rougher life? I don't think so. It's going to be tough. And the biggest problem for Montreal, and I think they know it, the infrastructure is not as deep as you need it to be. That's not a knock on anybody, but they just don't have those marquee-type prospects that are going to get you a top-end center. That's one of the problems.
Talk to you prior to the Habs and Senators tomorrow night. Pierre, thanks as always.
Thank you, sir. Sorry for the lost contact, and I'm glad we didn't have another one. Perfect.
Right now I'm not contributing offensively, but that's, you know, it's okay. I know eventually I'm going to score goals. I've scored goals before, and you just don't get too worried about it. Honestly, I don't feel like I'm playing bad hockey, and, you know, the scoring chances are still there for the most part. I'll never get worried or overly frustrated when pucks aren't going in, just because, you know, you believe in what you've done in the past and the hard work that you put in, and eventually it's going to change around.
Pierre McGuire on TSN 690, brought to you by Dagwoods Catering. Make your office party a